So there's this word on the street that's trending. It's called kachihandi.
Kachihandi. So it means conversation. And in this case, it means conversations we're too scared to have.
Oh, okay. Now I understand.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for talking to us. Conversating with us. Is the conversating a real word? I don't know. But we continue to have those conversations that we're too scared to have. On this episode of Kachihandi, we have Sly. Sly is here to share the untold stories of entrepreneurship. So, Sly, we're in this age where every podcast, every meme, every business summit or every something is telling us to transition into entrepreneurship. Why are you wasting time on your 9 to 5? Go and do your thing. And that's great. But no one tells us the side of the, you know, entrepreneurship, which we don't see.
True.
That side, which, you know, they say it's long hours, but we don't really see what the long hours are like. And sometimes they'll be like, oh, there's so much work that goes on in the background, but we don't see it. So Sly is here to tell us the untold stories about entrepreneurship. Welcome, Sly, to Kachihandi.
Thank you very much for having me.
No, thanks for coming. The long awaited. How long have you been trying to record? How long have you been trying to sit down? We've had this conversation.
It's about time.
It is about time.
It's about time.
So, tell us about transitioning into pursuing your thing.
Okay. I've been in business for a long time. Mm-hmm. I started business in 2002.
Okay. Still in school.
I started business in school.
Did you?
Yeah.
Also, you're one of those.
Yeah.
Like Sir Alan Sugar.
Yeah. So, but anyway, for me, business was like a side gig, a side hustle, you know. But I ventured into electronics. When I say electronics at that time, it was DVD players, then phones. Then I went into gardening, selling plants.
Really?
Yeah. But I went seriously into business in 2004. Mm-hmm. I was working. Mm-hmm. I quit my job in 2006. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I'd laid out my life that I get my gratuity, I get a car. Mm-hmm. You know, I was young, vibrant, and my idea was, I need to stress myself now so that when I'm older, I'm pretty much settled. When my heart can't handle it anymore, I should be settled. I'm not settled yet. But anyway, we'll get to that. So unfortunately, my employer couldn't honor, so I didn't. I put in my resignation letter.
Yeah.
They didn't believe it. But eventually we had to part ways and they refused to give my gratuity.
Really?
And at that time, when like you said, I read Napoleon Hill. Mm-hmm. I read a lot of motivational books, and I was like, "Yeah, this is it. I'm doing it." Mm. And boom, I don't have a job. It has to be done. I don't have a job. I don't have a car. I don't have tools to just start business. So I walked. I looked for business. I walked, and make no mistake. It's not work. You have to walk and look like you're not walking to a client because they have to trust you.
Right.
Yeah.
So, before we get to that, I want to ask you, when you said you were resigning, were you married then?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
But engaged.
That makes it even better. Because, so a friend of mine, when he was branching into business, he said to me how he initially thought his wife was not supportive because she asked him so many questions.
Yeah.
Like, so you want to do your own thing now? You are leaving your steady 9 to 5 where at the end of the month, we are getting something.
I don't blame her.
Can you guarantee that we'll live the same way?
Yeah.
And you and I support our respective parents.
Yeah.
Can you guarantee that you are going to. And initially he was like, you know, my wife is not supportive. And then I was like, but uncle, you want her to go on this journey with you, and the dreams are all in your head. What did your fiance say? Did you delay the wedding?
Yeah. Okay. At that time, we hadn't started talking about dates yet.
Yes.
I think we'd just gotten engaged, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I knew the consequence. And like you've mentioned, the lady has the right to ask those questions. When somebody comes to me and says, I want to start a business, and are you married? Yes. You have a family? Yes. I said, okay, fine. Then you need to save up 6 months of your salary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you should be able to go to the bank and withdraw the amount of money you get paid now for 6 months. They shouldn't feel
the change.
The change. So for me, in a way, it was a bit easier because I was single.
Yes, yes.
It was tough, but it would have been tougher if I was married.
Yeah.
If it was now, maybe I wouldn't have done it because of the responsibilities.
Mm.
So, yeah. So to answer your question, did you delay the wedding? It made us wait longer.
Okay.
To get married.
Yeah. Okay. Did she ask you those tough questions, or was she on board from the jump?
She was supportive. Okay. She was young as well.
Right.
She was supportive. I think the only issue was, you know, when are we getting married?
Okay.
Yeah. Because we were engaged for 2 years. So
at the time?
No. At the time, we were, I think, engaged for about a few months, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But that was a concern. And I just had, as a fiancé, it was my obligation to assure her it will happen. And at one point, just jump the gun and say, let's do this and let's make it work.
And I think it's interesting that you have said the woman or your partner has the right to ask.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes our expectation is that I have this big dream, so my person is just going to be like, I am with you. We are going through this together.
No.
So when people come to ask you, you do actively say to them,
yes.
Does your partner?
You are the dream. You have, nobody else can perceive the dream the way you are perceiving.
Yes, yes.
So if you want them to share your passion, you've got to explain it to them and vividly, explicitly, so that they understand.
True. Yeah. So do you think then it's justified for your partner to say to their dreaming entrepreneur,
yeah,
let me see that we are still secure?
Yes.
Slight. Because I don't know.
No. The thing is,
are you doubting my big dreams?
No.
Ask me those questions.
No. I think what she or he is asking the partner is, what are the consequences? What are the consequences? Let me know the consequences so that I can help with cushioning the consequences.
Right.
You have to say, okay, you have to, if you're going to, and if she's working or if he's working, you say, okay, now 50% or whatever percentage of the family's income is gone. Can we live on 50%?
Right.
And she has to agree, or he has to agree.
Yeah, that's true.
Once, I always tell people, once your home is secure, you can be a beast out there. That is the goal. Once you have fire at home, you are nothing out there. You won't perform miracles out there. You won't perform miracles.
Okay, so let's go back to now.
Yeah.
You're walking, but you don't want to look like walking.
Yeah.
So obviously at that point, you were supporting the dream in your head.
Yeah.
You know, while killing ants on the road when you had thought you would be driving.
Sure.
At any point, did you feel like going back?
No.
To form really?
I think, and that's that for me, that's I think that's one character of myself, the one quality that I like.
Right.
I don't go back.
Really?
Yeah. Once I make my mind, I don't look back. I go. It's go.
And I want to ask, do you think every entrepreneur has that? Because look, I don't have an entrepreneur bone in me. I don't think I do. That's why I have to work hard at work. Because I feel like if I tried my own thing and it didn't work, I'll just be like, hello, I can come back.
No. Oh, I'm not saying that. Look, you always have to take a step back,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Reevaluate
mm-hmm.
the steps you've taken
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and say, okay, I'll give you an example. Let's say, for example, you get 100,000 kwacha a month,
mm-hmm.
right? And you start a business mm-hmm. and the business is giving 20,000 kwacha and you have a family.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see how you can make 1 million kwacha
mm-hmm.
a month,
mm-hmm.
right? It's for me, I have friends who have told, like, dude, this doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
When you're employed,
mm-hmm.
You only worry about performing the tasks
right.
that you're given.
Right.
You don't worry about taxes. You don't worry about expenses. You don't worry about incomes. You don't worry about employees. You don't worry about any of that.
Mm.
Then, especially if you have a family, if you're young, dude, worry. Get things done.
Mm.
Yeah.
In that process, were there any people providing you actual, like, full-on guidance? Because sometimes we go and sit in these conversations and it's like they give you these in the air and in the cloud advice about owning a business and harness your and I'm like, but okay, now say it. Like, tell me how to move from my business plan to getting an appointment
mm-hmm.
to printing my pamphlet
mm-hmm.
to... So do you think that we give or we you are even at the moment mm-hmm. we get like hardcore full on advice of what you need to move from point A to point B?
Now mm-hmm. there are people that are willing
uh-huh.
to talk to you.
Okay.
At a later time,
mm-hmm.
Maybe 2 years, I got my first like hardcore mentor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This woman has been like my business mother,
mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
when I want to cry and
mm-hmm.
be a baby in mm-hmm. business, mm-hmm. I go to her and the secretary just, that's how accommodative she is.
Mm-hmm.
And I go and I talk. She started a business. She was a client. I started a business
mm-hmm.
and she's one sober minded person, especially mm-hmm. for the business that she does.
Mm-hmm.
A sober-minded person. So I'm not sure if she knows she's my mentor. But and that's the thing about mentors. You can have many mentors
mm-hmm.
and they don't need to know. Just follow them.
Mm.
If you're going to have a mentor for your personal life,
mm-hmm.
you need to know the particular person's personal life.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have a mentor for business,
mm-hmm.
you know that person, and this is business. You're talking about entrepreneurship.
Yes.
It's there. The information is, I have many mentors. I just look at what they do, the mistakes they make, and I read.
Right.
And just check what where are they at. At this stage, just go and just say, okay, I want to talk to you, and you talk to them, you know, just to find out how things are going. Other people, most people won't tell you the truth, but most people won't.
Because I was going to go to that, because sometimes in Zambia, we have this worry about disclosure.
Yeah.
Of information such that people will not give you information. Actually, it's in Africa, because I once contacted someone on LinkedIn and I said to her, like, oh, can you just walk me through how you did this and did that? And she was just like, I just did it. I just believed in myself. I went in there. And I'm like, no, auntie, I get that you believe in yourself, but I just want to know, like, what did your actual plan look like? Like, when you started planning, how long did it take you? So you say you have a mentor who may not know she's a mentor.
Yeah.
Do you think entrepreneurs in Zambia give the full, like, nitty-gritty details, even when you attach yourself to them as a mentor, knowingly or unknowingly?
I think...
Or maybe what has been your experience?
My experience is, I think it would be unfair
mm-hmm.
to ask somebody to disclose everything.
Right.
Okay. But like I say, she's like a business mother to me.
Mm-hmm.
So she treated me like a son.
Right. You right. know? Right.
She. There was a time I was like, you know what? I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to the village.
You wanted to go to the village.
I'm tired.
Like...
I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
And she went frantic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we had. I remember we had a discussion for about. She told me she's only giving me 30 minutes, but the discussion ended up to be 2 hours 30 minutes. You know. Yeah. So the issue is, it would be unfair for me to expect her to tell me everything, you know, about the business, you know, it'll be unfair.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
she will tell you or she will advise you where you're going wrong.
Right.
I remember there's another, the same time, around the same time, there's another mentor who's in some businesses, okay, bigger than me.
Yeah.
I went to him, I was like, you know what, give me a job because I'm tired. I'm tired of it. Yeah. You know? I was like, no, you're young. Why? And he said, come Friday, we're going to go for a ride. And I don't know if he knew that I love to drive to relax. Mm-hmm. And he drove me. As we drove to different, no, it actually we drove to, we were just going around. We went window shopping for houses, whiskeys, and we came back. And after that, I was like, okay, let me just change the approach. And I changed the approach. And they really helped.
Okay.
So yeah, if to answer the question directly, will it tell you everything? No.
Okay.
But they will tell you, if you listen carefully, even to the things that are not said,
right,
then you will understand.
Tell me about the moments of doubt. Do they ever go away or do you just have a new strategy for them?
They don't go away.
Really?
Yeah. There are times where, because a business is, it has ups and downs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So when the doubts will come when you're down, sometimes the doubts even come when you're up. Mm. It's like you feel like you're failing to deliver.
Right.
Like you feel like you're failing to live up to the task. Like you're not enough.
Right.
That happens. But, I think you need to have a growth mindset. Mm-hmm, you need to just say, okay, how can I change? How can I make things work? And they usually find a way of working.
And in those down times, for you, what has been your place of picking yourself back up?
Family.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've come to learn to shut off everybody and just go and sit home and be with your family just do the normal things.
Okay.
Yeah. And at one point, I think they will motivate you to just say, hey, I'm off. Let's go and do this again.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, with your partner, are you able, because, I mean, I can imagine this is your husband, he's doing his own thing. And yes, you know, we are told women, oh, be his rock, be his peace, be his shiny. But do you think you are comfortable to go and say those things knowing that you are following this dream of yours?
To ask a question again, what am I saying to her?
Are you able to be honest, like, listen, I'm losing my mind here. I don't know if I can do this no more, knowing that she's relying on you.
Okay. I'm not sure if everybody can handle that truth. When I say it, so I'm not sure if I think she doesn't believe me.
Really?
When I tell her.
Really?
Yeah, because at one point she told me, I know you love what you do. Mm-hmm. So when you come to me, it's like, I'm done.
Mm.
I'm like, okay, let's just get him out of the face.
Right.
Back up.
Okay.
Yeah. So she, I don't think she has. Maybe
but
she
I think
has.
That must mean that she believes in you, right?
Yeah, I think she. Oh, I think she does.
Goals. Those are called goals. Those are called goals. You have mentioned how business is, you know, like it does have its ups and downs, and sometimes it affects how you feel about yourself.
Sure.
Have you ever had a failed business?
Yeah, I told you I had entered into different businesses.
How then, or from where did you just say, like, get back up and start again? Or was it a case of, I have no choice, I have to get back up again somehow?
Okay, so 2016, we closed two businesses.
Okay.
Then I just remained with a business that I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
The other businesses were cash cows.
Okay.
I called them cash cows because they were my retirement plan.
Okay.
But they didn't go according to plan because we were young. We were, I think, to some extent, maybe selfish.
Mm-hmm.
We took on deals that were not were bad deals, mm-hmm. but they looked like they were good. Mm-hmm. They were going to give us good returns, but mm-hmm. it didn't work. So we just closed. But like I say, you always have to take a step back and just look at your steps, look at what you're doing, and look at what everybody is doing in your sector.
Okay.
Yeah. And the business that I do now has really helped me because it's a very difficult business.
Okay.
A lot of people have failed mm-hmm. in some business.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have moved on from
okay.
some business.
Okay.
So
okay.
I kept on asking myself, like I said, the people that have interviewed or even had discussions with, they didn't know that that was my goal, but I was learning from them.
Right.
Like, what went wrong?
And
most of their employers are also friends.
Right.
Like, so what do you think went wrong with this?
Right.
And what would you have changed? And you can see this when someone talks, like, okay, he's talking from an employee point of view,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and or he's talking from an employer point of view, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and then you can now implement.
So that sounds then like market research, learning is a constant part of the journey.
You have to learn. You have to.
So
I think in life you have to learn.
But you know, some people do start and then they feel they've arrived.
No.
Oh, sorry.
I don't think life is like that.
No, because you know, like, and I think sometimes we see this with like Zambian businesses, like yeah. they come hot, then it's like they stay at a certain temperature and then they just
drop.
Yes.
Yes, because it's, I haven't done business studies. Okay, I did business administration for the sake of business. I'm a nerd and geek to the bone.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to handle people. So I had to know, I had to learn how to handle people. But anyway, so the question that you asked, give me the question again, my head is everywhere.
Learning
So you have to continuously learn what's going on around you.
Yeah,
that is the only way that you can stay afloat.
Right. So you are deliberate about your learning.
Yes.
Constantly deliberate.
And attack yourself.
Really.
That's one thing my partner doesn't like.
Really.
She says that I put myself down. No, I want to learn.
Also, for you, it's going through the process.
Yeah, I want to learn.
Right.
This client is cutting the contract. Why?
Is
it me? Is it my employees? Or what is it?
Right. Yeah. So that introspection is an important part of
very important
running the business
very
as well.
Important.
Okay. I want to ask you, because you've been doing this for a long time and because you've been employed, do you think, honestly, entrepreneurship is for some? Or are some of us just supposed to be diligent employees? Because if you said to me today, go ahead and do your own thing, I'd be like, what is my own thing?
I think entrepreneurship is easier for others and a little harder for others.
Okay.
But it can be done by everybody.
You think so, Sly?
Yes. Yeah, let me explain. Let me explain. Okay. Like for me, I didn't go into business because, you know, I was, you know, an entrepreneur. I just wanted to do what I loved.
Okay. Okay.
And it became a business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned business. Then
right.
I ventured into other businesses.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. But there are others that are like, that's what they love, you know, investing.
Right. You because, know. I mean, these days sometimes I even feel sometimes pressure because it's like everywhere you go, there's like, at this time, you must have a side hustle.
Yeah.
You cannot be. And I'm just like, but just what I do
is too much.
It's a lot for me to try and add this side hustle. And sometimes I feel like we feel pressure to start this hustle.
Look, I'm not for the go with the norm.
Okay, okay.
Go with what works for you as an individual.
Right, right.
Because,
right.
Look, if Mr. X can have 10 businesses and still have time for his family and for himself, it's working. But if you have one business, because there are businesses that jobs or businesses that are really demanding.
Right, yes.
So then, you know, you want to add more pressure. And one thing, one danger for entrepreneurs, by the way, is sleep.
Mm.
You have to be a workaholic. to be an entrepreneur.
You have to.
Yeah, you have to be. And that will kill your sleep. And that means that you become fat. You hit the gym more.
So we always think that you're living well. That's why you're becoming fat, because you can't sleep.
I always tell people, when you see me lose weight, things are good.
Really?
When you see me gain weight, just know I'm stressed. I'm stressed out. But you need to fix. I think for me, the thing that I always tell, and I must say this to you now, and say to everybody out there, that you need to take care of yourself,
right?
And your mental well-being. When we were starting business, everybody was about motivation.
Yes.
It's now that everybody is they're moving from or growing from motivation to mentoring. So look for people that you look up to that are willing to not to just motivate. It's not enough to motivate. There's a guy in South Africa that I won't mention his name, but that said something about what was interesting, that if you are an owner of, or if you're the owner of the business, know every system that is in your business.
Okay.
So you be part of that system.
Right.
So that if somebody lies to you, you know they're lying. Or if somebody is going wrong, you have an idea of what the solution. You might not be the solution.
Yeah.
But you have an idea what the solution could be. So those are the things, know your taxes, know your accounting, basic things.
Right.
Those are things that we were not taught. We were just taught start. And we started, we got into Congolese, and we got headaches. I know people that can't answer the phones unless you text them that it's calling me. You, please answer your call.
Because they're dodging someone.
Not dodging. Mm. They have their minds are broken.
Right.
They don't like calls. And a lot of people go on about millennials and not answering, not being socially equipped. No, let's check the so-called entrepreneurship adventures that we put ourselves in and what damage it has done to ourselves.
Because I can imagine, and that's why I asked you about like failed businesses, right? Yeah. Because, how hard is it not to see that you have failed rather than seeing that my business has failed? Because I think sometimes when the business failed, you feel like this is me. It's me who has failed, and therefore now this is the end.
May I tell you something harsh that probably my wife would hate me to hear me say this? Is it's okay to say I failed
because
at this.
Oh, okay, but because not I've failed.
I know that the word.
Well, I am a failure.
No, you're not a failure, but I failed at this.
Right. Okay.
But just because I failed at this doesn't mean that I'm failing at everything.
Right.
No.
But is it not hard to, like, make that clear distinction? Or because
it is.
Yeah.
It is.
And how do you not get to that point?
But why it is because when you start business, you are the business.
Yes.
Usually it's you are the business.
Yes.
Then you start removing yourself from the business and the business starts to form its own identity.
Yeah.
So it's very easy. But you need to have a supportive family, supportive friends. I think also find something that helps you gain your sanity. I drive, others drink. But I drive.
I drive, others drink.
Others drink. Yeah.
So it's interesting for you to say, it's okay to say you have failed at this.
At this.
Because
and that's where the danger lies.
Right.
Most people will want to prove that they have not failed. So they'll keep on hammering at something that is failing to make it work. It's we're human. I can't be a lawyer. I can't be an accountant. So if I say okay, there's a need in the legal or in the accountancy field. Let's start, and it's not going. It's like no, clearly, it's not working. Because I'm not an accountant.
But when do you know? Because I once sold chitenges.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And where I was struggling was, I could look at people who were buying from me, right? And they just wanted credit. I don't know whether it's our mentality. I'm like, but I think you spend this on your lunch. Why are you telling me you pay me at the end of the month?
Let me tell you a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Another secret. You need to make your clients understand.
Mm-hmm.
You're an SME. You're a small person.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody boss about, supporting SMEs and I'm doing this. Credit is not supporting SMEs.
Yeah, because I felt like spending more money chasing them.
An SME's face problem is cash flow and you're taking it away from
them. I agree because I was pumping capital in everyone.
And you're calling them, you're calling it support. No.
Mm.
So the clients had come to me and say, we want this. Yeah, we can give you down payment. No, but go and get it. Because even if where you're going, they won't give it to you until you pay.
Exactly.
So if you're supporting me as an SME, pay me first. In fact, pay me 100%. Then you are supporting me.
I agree. And there was this woman who had a really nice car. And what she was not paying me, I'm like, you don't even spend this on fuel. Just pay me my money.
A human being will choose the most resistant.
But then, so now going back to my question, it's like, when do you get or how do you get to the point of saying, okay, I have tried this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working.
Mm-hmm.
Let me move on. And how do you distinguish that from, that thing of, just when you give your last punch is when you're going to knock this thing out. Because I think some people are just punching, hoping that.
And not knowing that they're punching a solid wall that is 25 kilometers long. Yeah. I think for me, the gauge is your mental health.
Really?
Yeah. If it's starting to impact your mental health, close shop.
Sly, really?
Yeah. Because, how useful are you going to be to a business if it's
going to... That's true.
Exactly.
That's true.
Your mental health is your priority. You will not be useful to anyone once you're broken. Once you're broken.
Because, this thing of trying. Hey, shame, I tried with that.
Remember what I told you?
Uh-huh.
Look for mentors, not motivators. People will motivate you to carry on and to push, but at what expense?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
At what expense? Right. You can't continue. You can't, even if you have a lot of money, you can't continue throwing money at something that is on,
Because I tried with that business.
No.
But it's my credit lines.
No, don't do credit lines. Yeah, I think we've learned even the chicken business now.
Oh yes,
they don't do credit anymore. They give you a choice. It's $150 for a pay chicken if you want to pay at month end. Mm-hmm. It's 100 kwacha if you're paying now. There should be a cost to
the credit line.
Yeah.
But and do you think as Zambian customers we are moving away from credit lines? Because I feel like, especially like stuff like consumables. Like, why do you need a credit? I can't even come back and get this from you if you don't pay.
Exactly. We were excited about it, but we were excited about it because it was new. We were a cash economy, we were not. Our minds are not trained to do credit.
Right.
So when it was introduced, remember Smart Center?
Yes.
Yeah. When it was introduced, everybody was like, so I can just walk in and get.
All these clothes.
But credit is spending in advance. You still have to work for it.
Yeah.
And being a young economy, being a young cash economy, we needed to be trained. And then I think more and more people are starting to, on a personal level, and say, no, I'm not going to get credit. And how you tell this is, Zambians don't do mortgages. They say it's too long.
It's too long.
We are a cash economy.
Years.
Our mentality is cash. It's cash based. So we rather say, okay, here's the 2 million.
Mm-hmm.
I want the house.
Yeah.
And I forget about you.
Right.
So we are moving away slowly, but on an individual basis. Yeah.
Okay. Kachi Hande is recorded and produced by Vibecast Podcast Network. Vibecast ZM is Zambia's premier podcast network. Get in touch with Vibecast on 0979-591899 or email production@vibezm.com. You can also search for Vibecast ZM on all social media platforms. Vibecast, making it possible for you to tell your stories. Now let's continue this conversation. Are you providing mentorship to people?
Some people. But again, they don't know that I am.
It's like, so how do they know that you're mentoring them?
I just go and say, hey, how's business? Hey, stuff. Is this okay? Oh, okay. Can you tell me about it? I was like, oh, okay. Did you try this? Oh, no, I didn't try that. Let me try that. And like, okay, how's, and how I know that everything's well, don't come back to me. When everything's good, we don't go back to the people. They're like clients. When things are bad, they'll come to you. When things are good,
you don't hear from
just
them.
Just know when they're quiet, it's so good.
Because I think in some spaces, I felt like we don't have enough willing teachers. Because sometimes you speak to people who, like, they seem like they're doing a good thing, right? And you say to them, are you mentoring young people or even just people who are new to what you're doing? And some people be like, ah, no, you know, this thing. People must learn, must go through what I went through. That's the only way that they'll learn.
I'll tell you something that that mentor that took me for a drive told me. Because I was giving him my idea that I had of an incubator. And he was like, you know what? Your idea is brilliant. But one, you're asking these guys that have got their own problems. Just because he's a mentor doesn't mean he has a perfect life.
Right.
No.
Right. Yeah.
So they have got their own problems. And then when you go to this guy, he's hit a gold mine or he's hit a jackpot. And you tell them, oh, let's invest for the future. And he wants to buy a BMW. And how do you tell this guy that it's too much work? He just said it's too much work because he is going through what he is going through and he has to learn one way or the other by himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it was at that point that I gave up the incubator idea. And I was like, okay, let me work on myself.
Right.
I said, okay, can we, you and me, just talk? And we talked and he gave me his history and like that. So the issue is it's difficult to mentor people if they don't see the dangers that you can see. And once you cross a certain age, you will see the dangers. You can even, when a business deal comes my way, I can even see the pitfalls.
Really?
Yeah. The only pitfalls I don't see is when the business is about my passion. Then I have to.
Oh, because?
And, because I'm passionate about the business. I'm passionate about
a particular thing.
Yeah, so I want to do it. So I become blind. But everything else, I'm like, no. This won't work.
Do you think you always need passion for the business?
You asked the right question. That's my passionate topic. Yes, I think a business should have the passion and should have the business, the project manager.
Elaborate.
Okay. So let's take it. I'm a lawyer. I want to start a law firm. As I'm the passion. Do you know what my number one priority is?
Lawyering.
Delivering. So it doesn't matter the cost.
Right.
So if you come to me, like if you come to me and say, I've got this problem and I look at it, I can feel you and I can see the solution because I'm a lawyer, right? And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it. But you don't have the money to support what I would do for you. Okay. I'm not saying that lawyers shouldn't do pro bonos. They can do pro bonos, but they have a way. The project manager will make sure he finds a way to cushion those pro bonos.
Yes. Yes.
Otherwise the lawyer will just be doing pro bonos.
Yeah.
So the passion can become a danger to the business. And also the project manager or the CCOs can become a danger to the business because the CCO's goal is to make the business profitable.
Right.
That's his goal.
Yes.
At all costs. Cut costs down, get more revenue, you know, like that. But for the passion, it's okay. So you want the things now. All right. I'm going to get the truck and bring it to you. But how much is the client paying for those things? That's what I mean?
Yeah.
Does it make business sense? So the Indian community have accidentally mastered this.
Okay.
Yeah, I say accident because I don't think they have
thought it through.
Their children have become project managers.
Right.
And because the way they are, their family structures are, they actually really respect seniority. So you respect your father, you respect your older brother, like that. So the father they'll still consult the father. You'll not mm-hmm. be actively involved in the business. Mm-hmm. But so you'll find that their business keeps that client or two mm-hmm. because the father is passionate about those.
Right.
Those clients.
Right. Even sometimes where it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. You can see
but
that. Why are we?
You do not, the chairman will eat you alive. Do not touch that client. Let the client be. Because it doesn't impact the business. So they will take the children to school. The children will learn to get exposure. When they come, they hand over the business to their to their children. So you need to have those two in the business. You can't have. And that is why a lot of business owners or starters in the US were bought out by venture capitalists.
Right.
Because they became a danger.
Because they were the passion.
Yeah, they were passion, but they kept on doing things that were detrimental to the business. So you have to understand the passion, and the project manager have to understand each other.
Right.
And say, this is the limit, because these two will never meet. But they'll understand, are you happy? No. Are you happy? No. We're both upset. Yes. Okay, let's go. Yeah.
So I think sometimes the impression that is given out there is like, you must be passionate about this and that's the only way you succeed.
No, I know somebody who is passionate about making money. That's what he does. He doesn't have a talent. His goal is, he sees an opportunity, he takes it, he invests, he gets money back, moves on. That's what he does. So it's not that he's passionate about it. He's just good at it, and we're passionate about things that we're good at, so we keep on trying.
Okay, so that for you, that was the actual money question. In your experience, you've worked, you have done your own thing. What are you comfortable with your kids doing? Because sometimes, because you have seen the ups, the downs, the struggles, the trying to get your own thing done, would you let your children go down this path?
I just want my children to grow, to have a growth mindset. And I always tell my son, grow. And do not think that you're automatically good at something from the beginning. Mm-hmm. No. Just be happy at the fact that you've learned and you can do it. There was a time he was trying to, he completely believed that he could ride a bike without learning. I'm like, what? And he comes back, he's crying. I was like, dude, no, don't cry. Why are you crying? No, I don't know how to ride a bike. It's like, yeah, but who taught you? It's something that you have to learn. So now he's getting it into his head, like, you have to learn things. And celebrate in the learning. Once you learn, it's like, oh, okay. So be happy about being good at learning. Would I want them to be entrepreneurs? I think so. They'll have more time. They have more control on their time.
Right.
Better controls, but sometimes. But, you know, entrepreneurs work when you're needed. So it doesn't matter whether it's midnight or work. But there are times where you don't have to work, so you don't work.
And that, you know, that same thing. I mean, I think sometimes when we work for other people, we assume that, oh, but when I'm working for myself, you know, I'll have more time. I'll have more. Every entrepreneur that I have spoken to actually says, because I had a friend who, when she was in full-time employment, would look at me getting home late and she'd be like, oh, you work too hard. And you, why are you working over the weekend? And then she started doing her own thing. Yeah. And she's like, so now I'm working 7 days a week.
Yes. Forget working seven days a week.
Yeah.
You are working 24/7. Your brain doesn't switch off. Like, remember what I told you about sleep? Yeah, you will lose sleep. Sleep is gonna go outside the window. I'm battling with sleep.
But do you think that we are adequately prepared for the sacrifices that come with entrepreneurship?
No. Nobody tells us.
Really? Do you tell people?
Yes. Like I told you, somebody who is, a director for one of the corporates. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, I want to do this. I want to be like you. It's like, don't envy things you don't understand. Because let's be factual and let's look at ourselves as human beings, right? Let's say I sell you a product or, you buy a product, and the product is 25,000 kwacha. In your mind, you know what you are telling yourself. So, Sly makes 25,000 kwacha every day. You've forgotten that there's delivery of that service. There's the actual, if it's a product, he has to buy the product because it's not the manufacturer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, he's going home out of that 25,000 kwacha. Maybe he's going on with 500 kwacha.
That's true.
And those are things that people don't look at.
Yes.
Yeah. So I always tell people, I tell them the fact, okay, this is what you need to do. Where are you in your personal life? I've got a family, I've got children. How much do you get paid? 150,000 kwacha. Save up 150,000 kwacha for 6 months. If you can do that, then you can quit. Unless you go to your wife and say, can we leave you for your salary and she'll be comfortable? And by the way, you caution on that one. Even if she says yes, she can't. She cannot support you forever. She was not built to support you forever. So give it a time limit. 6 months, the most. You have to take the reins.
And you are saying this as like from a man's perspective.
Yes, and from
your personal experience.
From personal experience. Because when I got married, just when after getting married, maybe a month after getting married, we closed the business that I was running and separated. We had a big misunderstanding with my partners and separated.
How did you go and tell your wife that we've separated here?
She's the one who told me, you know what, if it's giving you a headache, go and separate. And I went and separated and I was like, okay.
But hey, you have a supportive wife. Like,
but now.
She must come on this podcast.
But now, but you understand that we are reliant on your income.
Yeah, at least it was her idea. Because me, if you just come and you're like, so I'm quitting, I'll be like, oh, you are? Go ahead. No,
but I think...
Maybe she saw what it was doing to you.
Okay, one thing why everybody talks about passion. People follow passion.
Right.
When you're passionate about something, you get support.
Right.
Yeah. Once you're not passionate about it, then people won't support you. The human beings react better.
Right.
To passion. Yeah.
Right.
So for a good 3 months, we were reliant on our income. But I also saw the toll it took on her because she was willing to do it.
Yeah.
But I believe that she was not built
to carry that load. And yeah.
Look, when a woman is single, she'll take care of herself.
Yes.
When she gets married, I don't know, it's like a switch has been turned on.
It's how God made it.
Yes.
Like, it's how God intended. Yes.
That's how it is. So the switch goes off, and it can be very stressful and overwhelming for the woman. So you have to take the reins, and you have to make her understand. You have to agree, both of you, that okay, for 6 months, this is how it's going to be. And 6 months, if I can bring at least 10-20% of the expenses, I'll go and beg for my job back.
Did it do anything to your self esteem in those few months? Where she was carrying the load.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, it was upsetting going to do shopping. And I'm being very blunt right now.
Really?
Yeah, it was very upsetting to go shopping because to some extent I felt like I'm a loser here.
I'm a kept man.
I'm a loser here. So, but you can turn that negative energy into positive energy. And,
right.
And do something about it. And I did. I went out again. Full force. I'm a geek. I'm an introvert. I've had to learn to be an extrovert, by the way. I'm an introvert by nature.
Okay.
I don't
like people. You can say it.
She said it, it's not me. She said it. Anyway, but the point is I went out and looked for business because that's the toughest part of entrepreneurship, looking for business. And yeah, here we go.
But you say that you had to teach. So is it something you just taught yourself or was it was everything fueling it? Because now you're thinking, ish, my wife is carrying the load. I hate the part about going shopping. I have to just break out of my comfort zone in order for this thing to work. Is it all of the factors combined or was it just like, I have to do this again?
No, I knew that I couldn't work.
Okay.
I at that point, I had become a very bad employee. I don't think I would I mean, hey, I've got this idea. No, like, okay, for sake, I'm going home.
Yes.
And I was at that stage of my life that I was like that. But the thing is like, the only way is to make the next business work, or to make at least the business to feed my family.
Okay. I want to ask you a question about advising someone who is starting out. For you, and this is very personal to you, are you one of those people who says, keep your job and start the side hustle until the point where the side hustle can live? Or are you all out?
Ben Bridges.
No. Are you like, quit your job and focus? Like, it shouldn't be a side hustle. It should be the hustle. Because sometimes we're told, no, don't quit your job first. First, let your side hustle gain some muscle, gain some traction, then quit your job so that you are not going from like 100
to zero.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I said, the only person that knows your personal circumstances is yourself. So, if my side hustle is real estate, I'm building houses, why am I quitting my job? Unless I'm going to quit my job to go and be with my family and spend more quality. I'm all for that. I'm big on family. But if you're going to quit so that I can go and build houses, the houses are being built. Are you a bricklayer? Are you an engineer? Or is it that your business, not business, but your employment is impacting how your houses are being built or how your real estate is.
Right.
Then it's, it's say, okay, my investment is at risk. I need to say goodbye to the comfort zone and go and look after my investment.
Because it's a comfort zone shame. That's when the salary comes in. It's a comfort zone, whether you put in 100 or...
Oh, by the way, for entrepreneurs... employees look forward to the month end. We hate the month end.
Like, of course you hate the month end.
Dude, I was just paying it was like 2 days ago. Why is it the month end now?
Man, it's been a good 30 days.
Yeah. So those are the things that we, so I'm not going to say no, bend the bridge for employment and go and, it works for others.
Yeah.
But always look at what is the impact on you as a human being.
Okay.
For me, humanity is number one. You gotta be a human being before you can be anything else. Yeah.
Okay. What would Sly of today say to that Sly whose gratuity didn't come through and he was starting his new business?
Don't leave any stone unturned.
Really?
Yeah. I was going to say don't trust people. But you know, the business to me is like, no. That's a bad phrase.
The funny thing is all your entrepreneurs, just you say very nice and flowery. What do you say to your younger self? I would say believe in yourself.
No.
You've got this.
No.
I like the don't trust people.
Don't leave any. Because look, the thing is, I took it. It's automatic. You know what I mean? My gratuity is due. Give me what's due to me. But no, don't leave any stone unturned. Turn all the stones. Make sure, even when you're making any business decision, look under every stone.
Yeah.
For any eventuality.
Yeah.
Prepare for the worst. Hope for the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I like that. Thank you so much, Sly, for your candor, for telling us some of those.
And by the way, I don't want somebody to come to me here. But you said you make billions of questions. No, I don't make. I'm still learning.
Yeah.
I'm still learning.
But I suppose you have your own definition of success. I hope.
Growth.
Right.
I am. I view myself as successful because I am not the person I was 20 years ago.
Right.
Or 21 years ago.
Yeah.
And why certain people tell you that entrepreneurship will give you more time? No, it's not immediate. It's when you gain the experience. And at one point, your business will be running on your experience.
So
you have more time because you can even see here, okay, this decision that is we're about to make is bad. Don't make it. So because it's a bad decision, you shelved it because of experience, you saved yourself some time and headache.
Mm, mm, Mm. Okay. Mm. Okay. Mm. Sly, thank you so much for coming to Kachi Hande.
It was good.
Thank you for sharing your gems. And also, thank you for mentoring people even when they don't know that they're being mentored, because I think you don't realize that you're growing yourself as you, like, you're growing more Sly-like. By mentoring people.
Sure. I think it's the least we can do for what we've been given.
Mm. Okay. Thanks everyone for coming to Kachi Hande. Please make sure you have liked and followed our Facebook page and our Instagram page. And for all the entrepreneurs out there, we hope that you are having the much needed conversations. Thank you for listening to this episode of Kachi Hande. Please make sure you subscribe on Anchor, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Like and follow our Facebook page, Kachi Hande, to keep the conversation flowing. Share it with your friends, your family, your colleagues, and everyone around you. It's time we have those conversations we're too scared to have.